Let me give you all a very warm and sincere Christian welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sole King and only Head of the Church, to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church for this funeral service and also service of thanksgiving for the life of our dear sister in Christ, Edna Patton. On behalf of the entire family circle, I would like to thank you not only for your presence here today, but also for all the support, the encouragement and your prayerful remembrance of the family at the throne of grace. I have said to you that the various messages of comfort, visits to the home, text messages, phone calls and cards that have been received are very much appreciated by the family circle, and no doubt they would like me just to convey to you their appreciation of your presence here today and all of your thoughts and prayers. We do have some folks present, others who are watching online, and we just want to welcome Andrew and Hannah if they're still awake. I think it's 5 o'clock in the morning in Canada, just to give the precise time. He also tuned in at 4 o'clock in the morning for the committal service, which has already been done in the graveyard. And so, Andrew, if you're still awake, he had one eye open for the committal and hopefully the other eye for the service here. I think he's relying on Tim Horton's coffee just to keep him awake. But Andrew, if you are tuning in, technology hasn't failed us, then we want to warmly welcome you and Hannah. And we trust the Lord will bless you, even though you are miles away from the family. You're here in spirit, and thankfully we're able by technology to have you with us. And so we do ask God's richest blessing upon us all. Can I also express my own deepest Christian sympathy to Shirley, and also to Hazel and Colin, and to Andrew and Hannah, and to Grace, and to Samuel, and to Philip, and to David, and Rachel, and to Anna, and also to Edna's sister-in-law, Maud. And we trust the Lord will comfort your heart, encourage your soul in these difficult days, and to all in the wider family circle. We tend our deepest Christian sympathy, and we assure you of our prayerful remembrance of you all at the throne of heavenly grace, remembering at this time the word of God, which can comfort all our hearts. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, casting all your care upon him. He careth for you. And the twin verse in the Old Testament, in Psalm 55 and 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And we pray that God's word will comfort your heart. And where the words of our fellow human beings and friends and family fail, we're glad today that the word of God can touch, minister and address the very concerns and grief of your heart. So we commend you to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the Son of God, the sympathizing Saviour, to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to Edna's God and Saviour and yours, that he would draw near and minister and give you grace and help at this difficult time. We commence our service by turning to, please, to the first hymn on the order of service. Edna has already chosen these hymns. She has placed a good old gospel theme in through the hymns that she has chosen for this service. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf be in time. We'd stand together after the key, please, as we worship.
Thank you.
be seated. We do have as well some ministerial colleagues with us today. Hope I don't miss anybody out, but I do see the Reverend Darl Abernethy. I see the Reverend Roger Higginson and the Reverend Stephen McRae. So hopefully I haven't missed anyone else. I know there's some, well, at least one student from the Whitfield College here as well. So we welcome you in the Saviour's name. Some family members are going to take part. You'd understand how difficult that can be, especially when you're paying tribute and taking part in a loved one's funeral service. And we're going to ask Samuel Fitton, to come. He's going to say a word of thanks, and then he's going to open in prayer. And then straight after that, Philip Pentland, another grandson, will come, and he's going to read the word of God. Thank you.
Well, I've been asked, just on behalf of the family, just to thank some individuals. And I want to begin just by thanking everyone who's come to this service of thanksgiving for our granny today. It's nice to see so many family and friends, and we really do appreciate your presence here this afternoon. I also want to thank the staff of Rose Lodge Nursing Home, where our grandmother resided for the past 31 or rather 3.5 years, and they certainly looked after her very well, and we greatly appreciate all that they have done for her. Also, I want to thank Mr. Gary Parks, who's here with us today. He's an elder in the Martyrs Memorial Congregation, and Nanny really appreciated his visits and really appreciated the pastoral care that he showed to her, and for his attentiveness and his kindness to her. I also want to thank the congregation here, session in the committee of Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church, for the use of the church, and also thank the organist and the sound team for enabling us to have the service today. We appreciate all their help, and I want to thank especially Mr. Brian Hanna, one of the elders, for helping us in planning the funeral and getting everything organised. We also appreciate the service being live streamed, as my brother Andrew, he lives in Canada with his wife Hannah, and he was unable to be with us today, but we just want to thank those in the sound room for enabling the service to be live streamed so that he can be part of the service, and we do appreciate that. I also want to thank D.S. Brown Undertakers in Lisburn, and Mr. Brown has been a great help, and he's carried out his duties with the utmost professionalism and has went above and beyond all that could be expected of him, and has been very caring, and as a family we want to express our thanks to him. Then also I want to thank the Reverend Thomas Martin for agreeing to take the service today, and also for the great help and the pastoral care that he has shown to us as a family. And I want to thank him for visiting with Nanny as she neared the end of her journey on earth, and for how he spoke to her and prayed with us all. And certainly he has been a great help. He has brought much comfort through the word of God to us as a family. We'll just come now and commit the service to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our eternal God and our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we thank thee as we gather today in thy house. We thank thee that we can come and give thanks for the life of Nanny. We thank thee for saving her and for keeping her even down through the many years that she has lived. We thank thee for blessing her even with such a long life and such a long life of service. Lord, we know that we owe so much as a family to her. We thank thee for how that after she was saved and after she was married, how that when she had her children, she brought them up in the knowledge and knowing the scriptures. We thank thee that she taught them the word of God. We thank thee, O God, that even today that we can think of Nanny and we can think of how she had the great joy of knowing household salvation. Amen. We thank thee for saving her. We thank thee for saving her daughters. And we thank thee for saving, indeed, even all of us grandchildren. Amen. Father, we do have so much to praise thee for. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for even the opportunities that Nanny had to share thy word with others. And Lord, we come now though, and she has passed on to be with thee. And we do thank thee that we have the assurance, we have the knowledge that while she is no longer with us here in this earth, that she is with thee in the glory. Father, we do pray for those of us who are left behind here in this world. We thank thee that thou hast indeed given us comfort through thy word. But Lord, we do pray and ask that thou wouldst give strength to those of us behind. We think of Mum, we think of Hazel. We pray that thy hand would be upon them as their mother has departed. We think of Colin. We think of Philip. We think of David and Rachel. We think of Anna and Mark. We think also of Grace and Andrew and Hannah. We pray that thou wouldst comfort each one of us, that thou wouldst draw near to us, and that thou wouldst help us. And we think also of Maud. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done. And we pray that thou wouldst bless her, that thou wouldst comfort her also in the passing of her sister-in-law. Lord, we are grieving. It has broken our hearts to see her pass into eternity. But we thank thee that someday that we will meet again with her. We thank thee that the day will come when we will meet her in the glory, and we will be reunited once again. Lord, we do pray for this service today. We pray that thou wouldst grant Philip help as he reads thy precious word. We pray that thou wouldst help those who come and bring the tribute. But we pray especially that thou wouldst bless the Reverend Martin as he officiates, and especially as he preaches thy precious word. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst fill him with thy Holy Spirit, and that he would know thy help and thy presence. We pray that indeed through the word that we would know comfort. But we pray as well that those who are outside of Christ, those who are unsaved, that they would be pointed to the Saviour that Nanny knew. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for sending thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross at Calvary. And we thank thee that we have that message to proclaim. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst not even let any leave this building without calling upon thee for salvation. Bless the rest of the meeting, we ask. We pray all these things in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his sake. Amen.
I'm going to be reading today out of one of my nanny's Bibles. This is one of her newer Bibles. When you went into the house and went into her home, the Bible would have always been sat beside her on the wee table. I know those who are here today who visit her will be aware of that. And she always had the Bible sitting beside her. But this is one of the Bibles, her newer Bibles, because the older Bible that she did have, the writing in it was so small that I would have struggled to write it or to read it. She always had amazing eyesight. And she never saw or wore a pair of glasses in her life. But this, even when I think of her Bible as well, always had a lot of little pieces of paper that were bulging out of it. And even this newer Bible, as I was looking over it there, there's a lot of little pieces of paper in this with little Bible verses, with sermon points, and a lot of different things bulging out of it here. But I just want to read just a couple of passages of scripture. The first one actually was read to us by the Reverend as he came round to our house, McRae, as he came round to our house there on Saturday. And a 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 7. And this really describes Nanny. And it even sort of tells us that she didn't fear when it was her time to die. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then just the second passage that I just wanted to read was John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 6. And it says this was just a great comfort to ourselves as well at this time. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And as a family, we can take comfort in knowing that we will meet Nanny again in our heavenly home.
Well, a sincere thanks to Samuel and Philip for taking part, and we know the Lord will indeed bless them richly. We're going to ask Edna's two daughters, Shirley and Hazel, to come now. They're going to pay each a personal tribute to their mother. Thank you.
Hello, it's lovely to see everyone here, and standing up here today at Mum's Thanksgiving service for her life certainly is not an easy task at all to do for either of us. But as you can see from the order of service, Mum reached a good age of 87, and this is something really we are to be thankful for, and to be thankful to God for, and we really are. We will miss her. We will miss her so much, and we will have to adjust to her absence, and life will certainly be very different. But we know as a family that the Lord will give us all the strength needed. As it says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, Mum was born on the 23rd of March 1935, a sweet while ago, to Samuel and Eleanor Marshall. She was the baby of the family, having an older brother and sister. She grew up in Ivy Cottage in the village of Newton Breda. I'm sure you all know where Newton Breda is. And in those days, now it was slightly different. Newton Breda in those days was more a rural sort of place, and sort of like countryside, whereas now it's not really like that, but it's quite built up and schools and everything there. But she did enjoy a country lifestyle in those days, which suited actually her tomboy personality. I don't know whether we got that or not, did we? I don't think so. But climbing trees with her friend, Anne McElveen, was one of her favourite activities in those days. And she used to tell us many a story about her childhood. And she certainly was a lively character who was full of fun and innocent mischief. But of course, in school, this was no different, as she would have given the teacher plenty of opportunity for him to use a cane. They don't use canes these days, but in those days they certainly did, and she got plenty of it. But she always told us that when she was leaving school to seek employment, the headmaster had to give you a reference in those days. You got a reference when you were leaving, so that would enable you to get a job. And when the headmaster handed my mum her reference, he said to her, there's a few queer whoppers in that one, Marshall. And in case you younger ones now don't know what that means, because some of our ones didn't know. And in other words, he had greatly stretched the truth in order to make her look good and to get a job, because I think he wanted them all to get jobs. But so she first started a job work, I think it was a shoe shop, at age 14. Many 14-year-olds are thrown out to work nowadays. So Mum had forged, as I said earlier, with a friend called Anne McElveen, and she forged a very close friendship with her all through her childhood. She was her very best friend. But at the age of 16, Anne McElveen moved away to America with her family. Even though there was many miles between them, they still kept in touch through all of the years, and as pen friends. And every Christmas, of course, we as children would look forward to the American Christmas parcel arriving, you know, with presents in it and American sweets, which wasn't really very nice, but because they don't have as nice sweets as we do over here. But we always still enjoyed and looking forward to that arriving because it was something different. In 1995, now Anne actually came over to celebrate both of them turning 60, and that year. And they had a great time catching up, and they caught up with lots of other friends as well at the same time. Mum's family now weren't saved. They were not saved. And when she was about 13, her mum, that was our granny, got saved at a local mission by Jim McCormick. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So this actually brought some changes to the home, because when someone gets saved, there is big changes in your life. And when Mum was 16, her sister came home one night from work and announced, "There's a madman preaching on the Ravenhill Road. He's shouting and he's jumping about, and the people are flocking to hear him." And Granny and Mum, what on earth, who's this? You know, we'll have to go and see him and see for themselves, you know, and hear this madman. So they headed off the Ravenhill Road, and they soon realised that this preacher was no madman, but that he was preaching the truth of God's word. Granny and Mum then started to attend the church on Ravenhill Road, and around this time the mission in Crossgar, which led to the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church, was organised in March 1951. The Ravenhill Church ran a bus to that mission in Crossgar each night, and Mum travelled on the bus to the mission every night after work. She always told us that they all used to pray. They used to pray for the salvation of the wee ginger one. Mm-hmm. Now, we never knew Mummy to be ginger, so in those early days, but she must have been, because that's what they prayed for the wee ginger one. I've always been waiting for my hair to turn brown, but it's never done that. It's never turned brown like hers, but never happened. By the end of that mission, Mum got saved at the age of 16. So she's been saved a long time. She began almost straight away to serve her Lord and Saviour. And she took every opportunity afforded to her to tell others of their need of a Saviour. In her late teens, along with a few others, the Victory Testimony Band was formed by a small group including Mum, Bill Woods, now known as Dr. Bill Woods, and his cousin Anne Robinson, who later became Anne Laurie. And I see she's with us today, which I would like to thank you for coming, along with her husband. And they preached and they sang and they testified around the countryside, holding meetings and missions in many places. One mission which they conducted was held in Macroscoos. Anybody know Macroscoos? Apparently it's close to Ballygowan, not far from here. And Mum always said that this mission helped to lead to what later became the formation of the Free Presbyterian Witness here in Ballygowan. Now on the table there are a few photographs, and one is of the Victory Testimony Band, and one is when she was 16, and the other one is a very recent photograph. Now I think I've said enough. I'm going to pass it over to Shirley.
Well, I'm sure she's glad to do that. excuse me. Well, I just want to continue on from where Hazel has left off. And Mum continued after the formation of the Victory Testimony Band. She continued to attend the Ravenhill Church, getting involved in the work of God there. And in her youthful enthusiasm, she preached, sang, and testified everywhere she got an opportunity. She would take notes from her minister, the young Ian Paisley, in those days, and very often practically preached his sermons all over the place. Every opportunity she got, away she went and she preached his sermons. Now there's a story which I want to, I see the grandchildren smiling a wee bit, there's a story that I want to leave with you today, because Mummy told us this story all over the years, so many, many times. And Gary's here today, I'm sure he has, see him smiling and nodding. Gary heard the story too. Because although her memory was failing in later years and her memory wasn't good at all, she never forgot this story. Never forgot this story. She told it, always told it, with accuracy and word by word exactly the same every single time you would hear it. The only problem was that she forgot she told it. So over and over and over again in one visit, you might hear the same story many, many times. So because of that, this story holds a very special place to us as a family. And we felt it only right to share it with you today. And it begins, Mummy would begin by saying, one day Mr. Paisley, as he was then, called her over in the church. Edna, come here. And she would do it all, act it all out. And she came over and she would say, I came over and I said, what is it? And he looked down at her and he said, Edna, you have to stop preaching my sermons. And Mum said, knowing him well and having a good rapport with him, she said, I'll do no such thing, for I'm getting in places you'll never get in. And she told us, she said, he threw the head back, gave a big laugh, slapped her on the back and said, God bless you, sister. So that is a story which is very special to us, and it's good to be able to share it with you. Some of you would know it, like Gary, very, very well, but it holds a special place for us. So needless to say, the truth of God's word continued to be carried everywhere an opportunity arose. Mum got married to Dad in January 1961, and a year and a half later, I was born. And 4.5 years later, Hazel came along. We were always taught the way of salvation and were took to church and sent to Sunday school from a very early age. I never remember not knowing I needed to be saved. We were always told the way of salvation from as early as I can remember. And Mum, that was Mum's desire, that we would be saved. And at the age of 8, she led me to the Lord in our own home. I remember that well. When I was almost 14 and Hazel was 9, things changed in our home greatly when Dad passed away very suddenly. Mum was left to rear us both on her own, and from then on it was just the three of us. Mum's late brother Sammy, Uncle Sammy, and his wife Aunt Maud, we just called them Sammy and Maud, we had a very close relationship with them both, and it was always just first name terms. We always just said Sammy and Maud. And Maud is with us today, and I just want to thank her for coming. It's really, really good to have her here. And she has a special place in our hearts, and it's good that she's here today. But Sammy and Maud lived just down the road from us, and they were a tremendous help to Mum and to us over the years. Mum and Maud were more like sisters than sisters-in-law, and they even looked alike. I used to think as a child they even look alike, and yet they're not sisters, they're sisters-in-law. But we're thankful for all that they have meant to us over the years. I know Mummy said many a time that at that early days when she was rearing us on her own, she didn't know what she would have done without their help. So it is good to say that today and to pay that tribute as well. But Mum loved the open air meetings. She did open air meetings all around Belfast and everywhere, wee streets around the Castlereagh Road and everywhere. And she gave out tracts and did a lot of this type of witness over the years and continued to take meetings, singing every given opportunity and taking meetings. She loved her Bible, and we were only saying the other day that how we both remember her sitting, seeing her sitting in her favourite chair by the fire with the Bible on her knee. And she was, as Philip said when he was doing the reading, she was a hoarder, and she never threw anything out. Mommy did not believe in throwing anything out. You kept everything because you never knew you might just need it someday. So she would have kept every little bit of paper, every little card, every piece of card, everything. And she used to write things on it. And as Philip said, her Bible was chock-a-block with notes and wee things, wee sermon outlines and acrostics and all things about God's Word. And we have boxes full of pieces of paper and notes to go through, all things of great interest written on them about the Word of God. And she, anything she'd have heard or she'd have read, she jotted it down. She loved learning more about God's Word, and in later years completed two correspondence courses in the Whitfield College of the Bible. Mum had a great love and interest for the work of Every Home Crusade, and hence the reason why instead of tea this afternoon we've chosen to make a donation to Every Home Crusade, and also in lieu of flowers to Every Home Crusade. There are some leaflets and tracts in the hall about Every Home Crusade, and we would like you to avail of those and take as many as you want. They're just all out in the table in the hall, and if you can, you can get those as you leave. My mum had six grandchildren who she loved very much, and in order of birth I just want to name them. There's Andrew, who lives in Canada with his wife Hannah. Then there's Grace and Philip. This is in order of age. Then there's David and Sam and Rachel. And I'll forget Rachel. And Samuel and Anna. And one of her main delights was that they were all saved. That's all that mattered to her, really. It didn't matter about anything else as long as they were all saved. So she delighted in that. Now, Mum was a great knitter. I see Ilsa here today, and she's smiling. When we moved to Wales many years ago, Mummy felt a bit lonely, I think, and she got Ilsa up, and she used to say to me, Ilsa's coming up and we're sitting knitting. And the two of them, Ilsa's a great knitter as well, and the two of them would have sat and knit together. And as the years went on in later years, Mummy started to knit the teddy bears. Ilsa will remember the teddy bears. And these were for a Christian knitting class in Lisburn, and these teddy bears were sent out to countries such as Africa and various places where children didn't have anything, they didn't have any toys, and she was told that these little teddies were the only toy that they would have. And she knit upwards of 2,000 of those teddy bears over the years and sent them out, because she kept a note, again another wee piece of paper, another wee note, and she kept a note, and she had upwards of 2,000 teddy bears knit to go out to those countries. She was a very practical, level-headed person who loved to do things for others. She was still driving up until her 80th year, and then her health started to deteriorate. We are just so thankful that we have had her all these years and that she did reach the age of 87. That is a lot to be thankful for. Mum was a great one for taping the meetings that she took over the years. She had her wee tape recorder and she took it to all the meetings. I'm sure Anne's here today and she'd remember Mummy with the wee tape recorder. And as a result, we have hundreds and hundreds of tapes to go through. I don't think we'll ever get through the amount of tapes that we have. But in the book of Hebrews, it speaks about Abel. And it says that he, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. And you know, we have chosen a piece today which Mummy has sang herself and introduces the piece and then sings it. And we want you to listen to that in a wee while this afternoon. But I couldn't help but think of the words in Hebrews and trust that even though she isn't here, that this message which she gives in word and song will speak to your heart today. That she being dead still yet speaketh, not only in our thoughts and in our memories, but through her own words as we play this piece for you. We trust that as you listen, that the Lord will bless you. And if you don't know Mum's Saviour, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the same Saviour that she trusted all those years ago. Thank you.
Question that's in the chorus of this wee hymn tonight, do you know my Jesus? That's the question, and the answer that you give to that question will determine your eternal destiny. And so tonight I trust that the Lord will bless these words to your heart. Have you
just remarkable, and to think that she has been ministering at her own funeral service, and I think those words are true. Though the Lord has taken her home, her life and her testimony, her witness and her ministry lives on, and if the Lord spurs the family for many years, we know what they'll be doing every day, going through those tapes right to the very end. But we thank Shirley and Hazel for paying a very special tribute to their mother. Now the service is very nearly over. I'd ask you just to stand to your feet, please, for a word of prayer just before we come to the preaching of the Word of God. Let's all stand. Our gracious and our eternal loving Father, it is with thanksgiving that we acknowledge Thee in Thy presence already today. We thank Thee for the help given, Lord, not only in comforting, but giving, Lord, grace for those who have taken part. We thank Thee, Lord, for a sense of the divine presence. And as we close out this service of thanksgiving in the preaching of the old evangel, God grant that hearer and preacher alike might know the help of Almighty God. To this end, Father, I stand before thee in this congregation as a candidate for the infilling of thy Holy Spirit. I pray for that divine anointing and enablement that gives me help and power and wisdom to handle the word of life, to preach Christ and him crucified. To this end, Almighty God, I ask now for the infilling of thy Holy Spirit with wisdom and power. And Father, in answer now to prayer, save the lost, restore the backslidden, revive the church, glorify thy dear Son, and the people of God said, Amen. Folks, you may be seated. There's just one verse of scripture that I would like to leave with you this afternoon. The Lord laid it on my heart. I was praying over this service when I was asked to conduct the funeral service. I was asking the Lord, inquiring like many who do for these occasions, for a word from God. And the Lord impressed upon my mind just a little phrase that's found in the book of Proverbs in the chapter 10 and the verse 7. And it's there we read these words, "The memory of the just is blessed." You do have another text of scripture in Psalm 112 where it tells us the righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. But we're thinking today of the memory of the just, an individual who has been justified by faith alone in Christ alone. The Bible says the memory of the just is blessed. In that verse it also goes on to say that the name of the wicked or the sinner that dies without Christ, without God, without blood, without salvation, the Bible says the name of the sinner shall rot. Now think of it. The memory of the just, someone born again and saved by God's grace, is blessed. It's a happy memory, and this family have already given expression for that great truth. The memory of the just, how blessed it is. It is true that the memory of an individual who has honoured the Lord in their life, who has benefited their fellow man in the service of Christ, is perhaps one of life's greatest treasures. I don't believe a single monument could ever be erected to preserve their name and memory, as does a godly and a Christ-honouring life. And such has been the case, we've already heard that, in the life of Edna Patton. The memory of our sister in Christ, Edna, is a blessing not only to her family, I believe, but to the many friends and others who may be tuning in and streaming here online. The memory of the just is blessed. Now, the just are those who are justified by faith in Christ. They're not just because of their good works. They're not justified because of their church or denomination, because of their baptism or confirmation. They're not just because righteous even before the Lord because they live a good life or they're morally clean. The Bible says that justification for the sinner is by faith alone in Christ alone. And the memory of one who has been justified before God, who has been made righteous by the righteousness of Christ given over to their account, the Bible says the memory of such an individual is blessed. This honour belongs to Edna Patton. And let me say, first of all, when I think of our dear sister, I think, first of all, of her conversion. She was a saved woman. When I think of her memory and think of how blessed it is, I'm constrained to say that I think of her conversion. She was a saved lady. There was a definitive moment in her experience. We heard about that in the tribute. Whenever Edna realized that she was a sinner lost and undone, she realized that neither herself nor her church could ever take her to God or to bring her to heaven. There was a time in her life when she passed from death onto life, when she came out of nature's darkness into God's marvelous light. There was a time in her experience whenever she was translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There was a time when she was born of the Spirit and she was washed in the blood. And would you not agree that this service today is all the better because of that moment when she was saved by grace and converted to Christ There was a specific time in her experience when she was born of God's Spirit, when she looked to the sacrifice of the cross as the only hope for peace with God, when she was washed in the blood and all of her sins were taken away on the ground of the finished work of Christ. That time, we've already heard, was in March 1951. We think it was that Lisara Mission Hall mission prior to the formation of this denomination. She was a 16-year-old girl who came under the preaching of the gospel, but more than that, she came under the convicting influence of the Holy Ghost, and the Lord showed her her sinnership. And then he showed her the Saviour, and Edna came, and she trusted Christ as her own and personal Saviour, recognising that she was a sinner like everyone else in this world, that she was lost, perishing and undone, unfit for heaven. She looked to Christ alone, who can save her soul. She looked to the cross where Christ suffered and bled and died and paid the price for her sins. She looked to the one and the only one that could give her peace with God, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And now the memory of a saved mother, a saved grandmother, a saved sister-in-law is blessed indeed, isn't it? They've paid tribute to that, even the grandchildren. And I wonder, my friend, as we move on very quickly, if this was your funeral service, if your mortal remains were laid to rest today in this graveyard or somewhere else, where would your soul be? What memory would we have of you? Could we say that your memory is blessed? Could we say that there was a time in your life, in your experience, when you knelt at the cross as a sinner and you trusted Christ for salvation? Can you look back to a time? You mightn't be able to write it on the flyleaf of your Bible. You mightn't be able to say the exact moment, but it's happened. You're saved. It's well with your soul. And if anything was to happen to you, or the Lord was to return again for the second time, you would be right with God, and it would be well with your soul. So when we think of Edna Patton, we think of her conversion. She was a saved lady. Can I say, secondly, when I think of Edna, I think of her children. She's a satisfied woman. You see, Edna could go out to meet the Lord knowing that she had done all she could for her children and for her grandchildren. She have had the privilege that we have just heard of seeing every single member of her family converted to Christ. Her two daughters, her grandchildren as well. And what a privilege that is to think that she has now gone to meet the Lord knowing that her family are in Christ. And so today they're not saying goodbye. They're simply saying goodnight because they will. They will see her in the morning. They will meet her in glory. They will join her with the multitude of the redeemed of the Lord in heaven. And they'll have that eternal day. They are not saying farewell, but simply goodnight, because they're going to see her again. And I trust that not only the family, but all who have gathered here in this meeting house and in this service of thanksgiving, that you'll be able to say, yes, I'm going to see Edna Patton again, because I'm saved by God's grace and I'm washed in the blood and I'm trusting in Christ alone for eternal salvation. So when we think of Edna today, we think of her conversion, a saved lady. We think of her children, a satisfied lady. Can I say thirdly and very quickly, when I think of Edna Patton, I think of her Christianity. She was a sincere woman. Now you think of it. We heard about her life of service in the tribute. They say that Edna had taken all Dr. Paisley's sermons. Well, Hazel and Shirley have taken my sermon in its entirety, basically, from her children, her conversion, and even her service. So I felt like saying they've said it all, and just like their mother, they're just following in her footsteps. But she was a sincere lady. I mean that when I think of her Christianity. She had a life of service. It wasn't that she professed when she was 16 and then did her own thing. It wasn't the fact that she professed Christ as a 16-year-old girl and she never really went anywhere with God. I want to tell you, she was all out for the Lord, all out for Christ. Any person who knew her, ever had a conversation with her, she would introduce the Lord into everything that she said. She would always take every opportunity to witness for Christ. And she joined that Testimony Victory Band and went across the province preaching the Word of God, singing the Word of God. They did outreach and they lived for Christ. And Edna was a sincere lady when we think of her Christianity. She loved the house of God, loved to get out to God's house. And she loved to get out to the prayer meetings and to every single meeting that was possible. I'm sure the children were dragged out to all hours of the night, to all those meetings that she attended. And she loved the Word of God. I don't need to say anything more. She loved the Word of God. You only have to see some of her Bibles to know how much she cherished the precious Word of God. These are marks of grace. These are signs of conversion. She loved the people of God. She loved to socialize. She loved to fellowship. She loved to share Christ with other believers and even learn and even preach their sermons and then follow even the path of the just and lead many others with her. But above all, she loved the Christ of God, the one who suffered and bled and died for her, the one who took her place on Calvary, the one who endured the wrath of God upon her sin, the one who was her sin bearer, the one who was her sacrifice, the one who was her substitute, who became at 16 years of age her Saviour, her Redeemer, and she lived for him as her Lord. She loved her family, that's for sure. She loved her grandchildren. She loved the people of God, the Word of God, the house of God, and she loved the work of God. But I want to tell you above it all, she loved the Christ of God. And she could say in life, for to me to live is Christ. And then she could say even in her home calling, to die is gain. She's with the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. There's one final thought when I think of Edna Patton. I not only think of her conversion, she's a saved lady. I not only think of her children, she is a satisfied lady. I not only think of her Christianity, she's a sincere lady. But I think today of her coronation. She's a secure woman. Edna has finished her course. Philip read the very text of Scripture. She has run her race. She has kept the faith. And like the Apostle Paul, she can say, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And she's now in the presence of the Lord. And I say this with great respect to her sister and to her family. Edna does not need our tears today. She doesn't. She does not need our prayers. She does not need our sympathy. I want to tell you something. She's very much alive. The family needs your tears. The family needs your prayers. The family needs your sympathy. But not Edna. It's like our Lord said to the daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but for yourselves. You see, Edna is very much alive. She's not dead. Oh no, she's not dead, not one bit. And any rumours that she's dead, well, she's with the Lord. She's very much alive. It's only her body, her physical life that's gone. Her soul never dies and neither will yours. It lives the lifetime of God in God's heaven. Or in God's hell, either saved or lost, either glory or despair, where will you spend eternity? Now, Edna is not lost. She's in heaven. We know where she is. And she's there and she has seen the King in all of his beauty. You know, the Christ she loved, the Christ she served, I want to tell you, she's seen him. She's seen the nail prints in his hands. She's seen the marks of the thorns upon his brow. She's seen into the side where they pierced him with the spear, his hands and feet. She has bowed before him, and every earthly crown, and every act of service and devotion and love to Christ, she pours at his feet and gives him all the glory. She walks the golden streets of heaven. She basks in God's own light. I could say to you now, she's in a better choir than the Victory Testimony Band. She's in the very heavenly choir. She's singing the praises of him. She's got the new song. And she's singing the song of the Lamb. and she's among the redeemed of the Lord. She's in the presence of holy angels, and she's before the throne of God. I want to tell you, she's very much alive, and she's in heaven. And oh, to be there. Oh, to be there. What must it be like to be there? In thy presence is fullness of joy. That's what she has. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what she has. And friends, as we close, I wonder where you will be in God's eternity. It's a great question. We even heard Edna saying, I want you to think about this. Even in that little song that we heard her sing, the memory of the just is blessed. And I wonder, friend, if it was you that we were coming to pay our sympathies to and the family. I wonder, would we remember your conversion? Would we remember that there was a time in your life when you were saved? When you came as a sinner to the Lord? When you trusted Christ? And some people may not like these personal messages, and they may not like that personal touch, and they may feel, well, things are private. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing private about salvation. The Bible says we're to preach the gospel to every creature. And friend, you need the Saviour. And if Edna had a pen and paper before she passed away, and she was able to write something for me to say at this funeral service, I know what she would say. She would say to me, tell them they need to be saved. Well, I'm doing that. Christ has already told me, and no doubt Edna agrees with it, and many believers here. And we trust that we would have that blessed memory that there was a time whenever you were saved. And then we'll remember your coronation and know that you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. But friend, it's important to be ready. In order to be ready, you must repent of your sin, and you must acknowledge your need of a Saviour. Then you must come to Christ, and you must turn from your sin and believe that he died for you on the cross. And then you need to invite him into your heart and into your life to be your own and personal Saviour. And then the memory of the just will be blessed, and the righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Make sure you settle the matter between your soul and God, and do it even today. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. We're going to turn to the order of service, the final hymn, please. Just before we do that, I would just like to announce and just re-emphasize what's already been said, that in lieu of refreshments today, the family will be making a donation to Every Home Crusade or Revival Movement Association, a missionary work that was very dear to the heart of our sister Edna. Also, in lieu of floral tributes, donations, if desired, may be sent to Every Home Crusade, care of Miss Shirley Fitton. You should have on the back of the order of service the address that you can send any donations to. All monies received will be going in its entirety and will be acknowledged by the family to Every Home Crusade. We'll stand after the key, please, and we'll have the final hymn. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee.
Thank you.
for prayer, and then you may be seated. The family will leave first, and then they'll be in the hall and the foyer, and you can have a little chat to them on the way out. We already had the committal service, by the way, at 11 o'clock. Loving Father, we thank you once again for thy blessing upon this service of thanksgiving. We bless thee, Father, for the life and testimony of our dear sister Edna. We thank thee for what she meant to her family, those hallowed and cherished and loving memories. We thank thee, Lord, for the memory of her mother and a grandmother and sister-in-law. We thank thee, O God, for a life that was well lived. We thank thee for the life of service, a life given over to Christ. And truthfully, Lord, we know that she is now with Christ, which is better by far, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we give thanks for the grace of God in her life. We thank thee for the salvation of God she experienced. And we rejoice her sins are forgiven. She has eternal peace with God. She has eternal life and she'll never perish. And we rejoice with her. And we pray for the family if they've been left behind. We ask, Lord, you'll draw near through today, tomorrow, this incoming week, Sunday. Lord, months, we just commend them lovingly to thee. We pray especially, Lord, for Shirley. Remember Hazel and Colin. We pray for Andrew and Hannah, and especially Andrew in Canada. Undertake for Grace and Samuel. We pray for Philip. We remember David and Rachel. We pray, Lord, for Anna, for Mark, and for Maud, and for the family circle. We commend the friends to thee as well. And we pray, O God, that each one of us will be wise. We will consider our latter end and where we will spend God's eternity. We will realize, Lord, that no church or organization or institution, no charitable works or religious rites or rituals could ever take us to heaven or give us peace with God. But Christ alone is the only Savior for sinners. And we pray, O God, that each may come that road like Edna, and take the place of a guilty sinner before the Lord, and look by faith to the cross, where Christ suffered and bled and died for sin, and they will receive Christ as their own and personal Saviour. And then they live like Edna, their life to the glory of God. So now part us in thy fear and with thy favour, and as we leave the house, we pray the Lord you'll come with us and you'll go before us. We humbly ask these things, giving thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated.